Attar is my guide, Attar is my guide. By the grace of Allah, Attar is my guide. My murshid has changed millions of lives. The prophetic sunnah, he is revived. The leader of the Sunnis, he is our pride. By the grace of Allah, Attar is my guide.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Wassalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah Wassalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah Dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome back to another episode of the beautiful silsila, the Discourses of Attar. Indeed, there are countless benefits and blessings for us to recite Durood Sharif, Salawat upon the beloved Rasul, Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wa Alaihi Wasallam, in abundance. There is one beautiful hadith, the summary of which is, as referenced in Al-Qawlul Badi', that the beloved Rasul, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wa Alaihi Wasallam, stated that person who recites Durood Sharif, Salawat, or Salat, salutations upon me 50 times daily, I will shake hands with him on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, remember, the tongue is also a great bounty of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and it will also be asked about on the Day of Judgment. Therefore, it should never be misused. The first Khalifa of Islam, the first Khalifa and successor of Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wa Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq Radiyallahu Ta'ala Anhu, despite being a definite Jannati, that is guaranteed entry into Jannah, he is guaranteed a dweller of Jannah, of paradise, he was extremely cautious of the dangers and perils of the tongue. In this regard, it is mentioned in Ihya'ul Ulum that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to keep a stone in his blessed mouth to preclude, to avoid the chance of talking. Subhanallah. Dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, if you truly want to inculcate the habit of observing silence, then you will have to contemplate about this with seriousness and you will have to practice it with steadfastness. Otherwise, it will be difficult to apply the Qufle Madina, the spiritual lock of Madina, on one's tongue through only half-hearted attempts. Frighten yourself, in fact, of the perils, of the dangers of misusing the tongue. Make a firm effort to develop the habit of silence. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal, success will fall at your feet. However, this effort must be made with steadfastness, istiqamah. Let us consider an account of somebody who made such consistent efforts. Sayyidina Artah bin Munzir, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, has stated, one of our Buzuganadeen have stated that one of the persons who practiced keeping silent for 40 years by placing a stone in his mouth to the extent that apart from eating, drinking and sleeping, he would never remove the stone from his mouth. Allahu Akbar. Remember, the stone should not be so small that it can be swallowed. It can pass down the throat of a person, resulting in some emergency. Or furthermore, the stone should not be kept in the mouth in the state of fasting as well, because soil etc. from it may pass below or down the throat. Sayyidina Rabi' bin Husayn, rahmatullahi ta'ala alim, did not speak a single worldly thing from his tongue for 20 years. At the onset of the morning, when morning arrived, he would take a pen, an ink pot and some paper, and he would write down whatever he would speak throughout the day. And then he would perform self-accountability in the evening according to whatever he had written down. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hereby performing self-accountability, it is meant that to contemplate deeply about each and every word uttered and to interrogate oneself. For example, ask yourself, what did I say about such and such a thing? What was the need to speak at that particular moment or point in time? Such and such a conversation could have been done in this many words, that is, less words. They were such and such extra words that I have uttered. The phrase you said to so and so was not allowed by Sharia, the Islamic sacred law. And it was a taunt which would have hurt that person's feelings. Come on, now repent, make tawbah, and also ask for forgiveness from that Islamic brother or that Islamic sister. Islamic sisters should ask other Islamic sisters for forgiveness as well. Why did you go to that get together when you knew that useless conversation would take place over there? And why did you show your accord to so and so thing? You even had to listen to ghibat, to backbiting there. And in fact, you also took an interest in listening to ghibat and backbiting. Now, repent sincerely. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself in the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Repent sincerely. Make sincere tawbah. And also make a firm commitment that you will stay away from such gatherings. In this way, a wise person can perform accountability for his conversations, whatever speech he has done, and in fact, for his day-to-day matters. Through this, a person's sins, a person's carelessness, many of your weaknesses as well and faults may become known to you, and you may resort to self-rectification. In the Madani mahol, the Madani environment of Dawud Islami, performing sound self-accountability is called Fikr-e Madina. And in Dawud Islami, the mindset to perform Fikr-e Madina for at least 12 minutes daily and filling out the Madani in Aamad booklet is calculated. And it is inculcated in us. Sayyidina Abu Abdullah Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali has stated, I have heard that a scholar began to say in front of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that a silent scholar is also like a scholar who speaks. He said, I understand that on the day of judgment, a scholar who speaks will be superior to a scholar who keeps silent, because the one who speaks will have benefited the people, whereas the one who keeps silent will have benefited himself only. That scholar then said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, are you not acquainted with the tribulations of speaking? Upon hearing this, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu burst into tears. Subhanallah, may Allah azza wa jal have mercy on him and may he forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, how amazing was this cautiousness and the feeling of fear of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal that our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, they had. However, there is no doubt in the fact that orating religious discourses by cautious scholars of the deen, delivering sunnah-inspiring speeches by muballighin, the preachers, and inviting towards good are all those acts which have unmatched distinction over observing silence. However, the words of that scholar in the court of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, are you not acquainted with the tribulations of speaking, were also fitting. And it was this sentence of that devout and pious scholar, by realizing the core of which Amirul Mu'mineen began to weep much out of fear of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Although preaching for good is beneficial for the public, there is the risk of several harms for the speaker himself. For example, if somebody is a good speaker, a good preacher, then he may fall to pray to different tribulations because of the praise that the people give to him, the praise that he receives from others on account of his eloquence, because of his articulation and fluency of speaking, or due to conceit over his abilities, or also perhaps due to considering himself worthy and others as less worthy or worthless, or by the use of numerous proverbs and very beautiful, fine phrases to impress others for the sake of earthly desires and self-esteem. If he has command over spoken Arabic, for example, he might indulge in the tribulation of using Arabic phrases frequently in his conversation and speech in order to impress others. In the same way, whoever possesses a beautiful voice, a good voice, he may suffer tribulation, the difficulty actually, of arrogance as a result of the praises of his audience, by considering his beautiful voice as his own skill rather than a blessing from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So the warning of that pious scholar as regards to speaking is valid. For a preacher who possesses negative attributes similar to those mentioned above, preaching may be a big trial for him and could ruin his akhirah, his afterlife, even if the audience has benefited from his words. For those who really wish to reduce their conversations, an exceptional remedy from Ihya ul-Ulum is presented here for them to filter their words and to purify their conversation from inappropriate or unnecessary words and various other faults, as per extract of the reverend saying of Hujjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. There are four types of conversations. One, entirely harmful conversation. Two, entirely beneficial conversation. Three, a conversation which is both harmful and beneficial. And four, a conversation in which there is no harm, neither any benefit. It is always necessary to refrain from the first type of conversation, which is entirely harmful. And in the same way, it is also essential to abstain from the third type of conversation, in which lies benefit and harm as well. The fourth type is included in useless conversations, as there is neither any harm nor any benefit in this. Therefore, wasting time in such a conversation is a sort of harm as well. Not only the second type of conversation remains, that is, three quarters of conversation is not worthy of use, and only one quarter, about 25% of conversations, which is beneficial only, this is worthy of us using. However, in this conversation, which is worthy of use, there is the risk of showing off, ostentation, riyaqari, fabrication, maybe making up stories, backbiting, false exaggerations, the affliction of talking about one's own excellence or integrity, etc. Furthermore, the dangers of falling into useless conversation in the course of having beneficial conversation, and then through this going further apart, leading to other sins being committed, these are also associated. And in this way, there is very much subtle sins which may enter that maybe we will not know. Therefore, even during the conversation that is worthy of use, one remains plunged in dangers. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us from this. Dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, a wise person first weighs his words and then utters them. But a foolish person, he speaks spontaneously whatever is in his heart, whatever in his thought, in his mind, although the outcome may bring him disgrace. In this regard, Sayyidina Khaja Hassan Basri, alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi, has stated, it was famous amongst the people that the tongue of a wise person succeeds his heart because he looks towards his heart before speaking. That is, he reflects carefully whether to say or not to say. If it is beneficial to speak, then he speaks, otherwise he keeps silent. On the contrary, the tongue of a foolish person precedes his heart, as he does not bother to reflect. Whatever comes onto his tongue, he just slips it out without thinking. Dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, remember that our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam never spoke any useless word from his blessed and truthful tongue, and neither did he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ever laugh out aloud. If only these sunan of observing silence and not laughing out aloud become common in ourselves as well. If only we develop the habit of weighing up our words before uttering, before speaking. The method of weighing up is that before releasing those words from the tongue, ask yourself, what is the purpose of saying this? Am I inviting anybody towards goodness? Is there any goodness for me or anyone else in what I am about to say? Does what I am about to say consist of any exaggeration which might indulge me in the sin of telling a lie, and so forth? Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Mentioning the example of false exaggeration, Saddu Sharia, Badru Tariqa, Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azami, alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi, has stated, if one came once and he says, then he came 1,000 times, then he is a liar. Then he had arrived from a certain place, but he said, 1,000 times I had come. This is lying. Also contemplate, am I about to falsely praise anybody? Am I about to backbite about anybody? Will anyone's feelings be hurt due to my saying this? After speaking, will I have to take my words back and beg for forgiveness? For apology? Will I have to take back my words said out of emotion? Will I expose my secret or that of anybody else? After weighing up your words, before speaking, even if it becomes apparent that what is about to be said is neither beneficial nor harmful, and is neither rewarding nor sinful, even then, there is a sort of harm in speaking, because instead of bothering the tongue with utterance of useless and futile words, if one recites, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, or invokes salat ala nabi, salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will definitely get great reward, and this is an excellent use of precious time. Not availing this reward is indeed a great loss. Dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners, Madani channel, despite the fact that useless talking is not a sin, there are significant losses and harms that are associated with it. Therefore, it is extremely necessary to refrain from such useless talking. If only we harness the virtue of keeping silent by applying the Qufl-e Madina, the spiritual lock of Medina, on our tongues and other organs as well. There's a beautiful narration, Sayyidina Muwarriq Ajni, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi. He states, there is one such attribute which I have been striving to acquire for 20 years and I have not succeeded in achieving yet. However, I have still not discontinued my pursuit of it. He rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi was asked, what is that important thing? He rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi replied, keeping silent. Anyone seeking silence should communicate at least some of their conversation through writing or through gestures instead of talking and using his tongue. In this way, the habit of keeping silent will begin to develop insha'Allah azza wa jal. In this regard, one Madani in'am, in the prescription for becoming pious provided by Dawud Islami, that is the Madani in'amat card, is, did you apply the Qufl-e Madina of the tongue to develop the habit of avoiding useless speech today by communicating somewhat through gestures and at least 4 times by writing. During your efforts in trying to keep silent, it is quite possible that you remain successful in abstaining from useless conversation for a few days, but then the habit of talking might revert back to its previous state. Even if this does happen, do not despair and keep trying constantly. Istiqama, steadfastness is necessary. If your spirit is genuine, then inshallah azza wa jal, you will definitely be successful. During the times that you are practicing to keep silent, it is better to keep a smile on your face so that nobody gets the impression that you are annoyed with him and considering that you are frowning. In such times when you are trying to keep silent, your anger may increase. Therefore, if somebody fails to understand your gestures, ensure that you do not vent your anger on that person, because this may lead to the sin of hurting somebody's feelings. Communication through gestures is advisable with only those people with whom you have an understanding. A stranger or one who is not acquainted with you may become annoyed on communicating via gestures. Therefore, you ought to talk to them as and when required. As a matter of fact, speaking becomes wajib, absolutely necessary in several cases. For example, to reply to somebody's salam when they meet you, etc. When meeting somebody, instead of gestures, it is sunnah to make salam to that person. And for this, we have to make salam with the tongue. Similarly, if somebody knocks on a door and the one inside asks who it is, the one outside should not say, "Madina, please open up," or "It is me." Instead, it is sunnah to mention one's name at such an occasion. To call somebody or attract somebody's attention by using useless speech does not seem good. In the case you know the name of that person, do not even call him by saying Madina. Rather, call him by his name or his kunya, his patronymic, as doing so is sunnah. In particular, it is extremely necessary to refrain from calling out the sacred word Madina in toilets, in washrooms, and other such places where the impurities are there. If you do not know the name of the person, then according to the customs prevalent at that place, you should call one in any respectful manner. For example, in certain societies, somebody young is usually called as, "Oh my brother," and somebody elder is usually called, "Oh uncle." Like this, according to that place, we can use respectful words and terms. In any case, whenever you call anybody, make the intention of receiving the reward of pleasing the heart of a true believer and use the most pleasant manners along with using the name of that person. Furthermore, according to the situation, add the word brother at the end or at the beginning. Or if he has performed Hajj, then use Haji. This can be prefixed. The one who is called should say Labbaik, meaning "I am present." Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in the Madani environment of Dawud Islami, when somebody is called, the reply Labbaik is usually given. This sounds very good to the ears as well, and happiness can infuse into the heart of a Muslim upon hearing this. Furthermore, the fact that the respected companions, the Sahaba Ikram, alayhimur ridwan, they would respond to the call of the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam by saying Labbaik, and this is mentioned in a hadith as well. In addition to this, there is also a reference for this from the beautiful life of a wali, a saint of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. In this regard, when anybody would request the attention of the great leader of millions of Hanbalis, Who is he? Sayyidina Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Rahmatullah ta'ala alayh. In order to ask him about something, or any ruling, he would often reply by saying, Labbaik, Subhanallah. It is mentioned in the famous book of Masnoon Du'as, Hisna Haseen, Hisna Haseen. When anyone calls you, say Labbaik in reply. It is the abstract of a letter of an Islamic sister that our Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amir al-Sunnah, Dam Barakatuhum al-Aliyah has mentioned. That upon listening to a Sunnah inspiring speech, this letter was written by an Islamic sister. Upon listening to a Sunnah inspiring speech about the virtues of observing silence via the audio cassette released by the publishing department of Dawat Islami, Maktabatul Madina. This Islamic sister says, I began to practice Qufl Madina. That is, I began to develop the habit of keeping silent. Within only 3 days, I realized how many useless words I used to say. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, due to the blessings of silence, I began to see good dreams. On the 3rd day of my efforts for abstaining from useless conversations, I listened to another Sunnah inspiring speech released by Maktabatul Madina, entitled, What is True Obedience? On that night, when I went to sleep, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, I dreamt of an incident which had been narrated in that cassette. It was a scene of some war in which Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam sends Sayyidina Hudhaifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to gather information and to spy on the enemies. When Sayyidina Hudhaifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reaches the tents of the disbelievers, he observes the leader of the disbelievers, Abu Sufyan, who at that time had not yet embraced Islam. He was standing there. Finding the timely opportunity, Sayyidina Hudhaifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu draws an arrow out of his bow. When he suddenly recalls the order of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the summary of which is, do not provoke. So in obedience to his Madani Amir, his chief, he refrains from shooting that arrow. Then he presents his findings in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, I was blessed with beholding the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and two respected Sahaba and companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma clearly. The rest of the scene was very hazy. It is written further, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, by virtue of only 3 days' effort of abstaining from useless conversation, the Prophet of Mercy, the intercessor of the Ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, granted me such a wonderful favor. Now it is my earnest desire to keep preventing my tongue from releasing any useless words. Please make dua for my success in these efforts. Islamic sisters in particular would be feeling envy for this fortunate Islamic system. For an Islamic sister to adopt silence is truly a challenging job, because in comparison to men, women are usually more talkative. Dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, indeed, there are many other benefits for us to establish Kufli Madina of our tongues. One easy way for us to do this, and Kufli Madina in fact of all our body parts, is to establish a Madani environment at home. Our Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah has given us a Madani pulse to create this Madani mahal and environment in our homes as well. He, Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, advises us. When entering or leaving your home, make salam aloud. If you see your mother or father coming, stand up out of respect for them. At least once a day, Islamic brothers should kiss the hands and feet of their father. Islamic sisters should kiss that of their mothers. Keep your tone of a low, the tone of your voice low in the court of your parents. Do not look directly into their eyes during interaction. Keep your gaze lowered when talking to them. Promptly, quickly accomplish whatever tasks they assign to you. if it is not against the Sharia. If you remain serious inside the home as well as outside, inshallah azza wa jal, the blessings of this will definitely enter into your home. Speak to your mother and even the mother of your children and even your children outside or inside the home in a courteous, in a polite manner. One most effective method of developing a madani environment in the home is to deliver or to listen to a dars from Faizani Sunnah at home every day. Continuously make dua, sincere dua for everybody of your household. As Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has mentioned that ad-du'ahu silahul mu'min. That means dua is the weapon of a true believer. For a disobedient child or any such member of the household, when he is asleep, recite the following blessed ayah of the glorious Quran every day for 11 days or 21 days by his bedside towards the head in such a volume that he does not wake up. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bal huwa Quranun Majid fi lawhim mahfuz. Remember to recite durood and salat one time before and after. Pass your days of your life in accordance with the madani in'amat. Encourage this at home as well. These few points, inshallah ta'ala, will help us, ourselves and our families, inshallah ta'ala, to establish a madani environment at home and to help us with kufli madina, or practicing of kufli madina of our tongues and our other organs. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us the ability to understand and to practice His beautiful deen. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Attar is my guide, Attar is my guide, by the grace of Allah. Attar is my guide, my murshid has changed millions of lives. The prophetic sunnah, he has revived. The leader of the Sunnis, he is our pride. By the grace of Allah, Attar is my guide.